to tell you, I should not be at this camp today. I was never going to come. Pastor Kenny gave me an invite long ago. Remember we talked? We had food together at Cinta Raya. Ooh, the food. Cinta Raya was really a riot, man. And we checked and I went home. Believe me or not, within that few days, I wrote out a whole series for you guys. I wrote a whole series. And then I told my wife, she's going to, I hope you were blessed by my wife's workshops. Give her a round of applause. She put in a lot of effort to do prayer wall. I am not disturbed. I just talk on here. But she put in so much. And we all planned. And I was so looking to the coming. You know, I told Anne, it's been a long time. I retired in 2016. I only did one camp after that. On Australia, I've been overseas. I go to Malaysia, Singapore. But here I did one camp. And this camp, the original opening of this camp, yours truly was here. What? Yes, I was invited. Man, my name was quite good those days. See, why is he invited? Reverend Mitchell, would you grace this? And I said, I told Anne, I haven't come back here for so long time. Well, when Pastor Kenny said yes, I said, wow, Esai lah. But you know, on the 8th of July, I felt a little sick. The flu was coming on. Body became lethargic from such a exuberant kind of life. I felt like a wasted piece of vegetable. I couldn't wake up. Anyway, I got up. I went out with her. On the 9th, I went shopping with her, get things we want to bring to camp. I came home. I had a shower. That was about 4 o'clock, and I went for a shower. Finished the shower, I came out, I dried myself, suddenly I collapsed. I hit the deck. When I hit the deck, the first thing that I cried out is, where's my legs? Where's my legs? I lost paralysis on my leg. I couldn't feel my legs. I was on the floor. I said, Anne, where's my legs? Anne, where's my legs? Where's my legs? I couldn't rise. I couldn't stand. I can't move. One lump of German steak on the floor. Serious, I panicked. I was trying to get up, and I'm 95 kilos. She could not move me. Immovable. And I panicked, and the fear came in. What's went wrong? And my wife called my kid who works in Roeville. He rushed back. He's a big boy. He lifted daddy. I said, I don't know. I can't feel my legs. Where's my legs? I lost it. I'm trying to stand, but no legs. They carried me onto the chair. And I sat there for 1 hour still crying out in my heart, Lord, why, Lord? Where's my legs? Who took my legs? She called the ambulance. 1 hour's time, the ambulance came. And they sent two beautiful paramedics who couldn't lift a bucket of water. They couldn't. And so my kid had to carry me all the way to the ambulance. And in my heart, I was crying out, where's my legs? What happened to my legs? Took me to hospital. They rushed me to emergency. They wanted to go to Knox. Knox didn't want. They wanted to go to Maroondah. They were full. They managed to get to Anglis. Somewhere up in the bottom of the hills in Ferntree Gully. I never been to that place. They rushed me into emergency and they all keep asking me, what happened? Did you have a heart attack? I said, I don't know what happened. All I know, I'm here now. Did you get a stroke? Did you get a heart attack? I said, I don't know, doctor. I don't know anything. I don't even know if I had a stroke and fell down. All I know, I was on the floor. They rushed me to emergency, put me into the emergency ward, observed me there, thinking that the legs will come back in a matter of time. I spent the first night in emergency. I did not sleep a bit. You know why? The thought of my legs. Where's my legs? I've got a camp coming up. I've got a Sunday ministry to do. Where's my legs, Lord? I slept that night. I waited in the emergency till the morning came. The doctors came. They knocked here. They did that. They did all that they could do to get a bit of feeling back to the leg, friend. I could not feel. I could go to the toilet. I wanted to go to the toilet. I'm calling for the nurse. Was the first time I felt so hopeless, friend. Hopeless. I couldn't even go to the toilet.
And the nurses were, you know, it almost embarrassed me. I, alpha male, Pastor Michaud, crying out, Lord, where's my legs? But in the depth of my heart, in the night, I knew it's a spiritual warfare, friend. I knew I became the victim of the enemy's attack on me. I became a victim, Lord. And said, shall I call Pastor Kenny? Let's cancel the camp. I said, no. I won't cancel no camp. I'm not going to throw in the towel. Thursday, Friday. Friday morning, I woke up. Unknown, unconsciously, I got up and went down the bed. And the nurse shouted, hey, go back to the bed. You will cause what? Blue what? Code blue. I said, what's so blue about it? I also don't know. She said, how did you get out of the bed? Then I realized, hey, I got up from the bed. Really, I got up the bed. And I want to go to the toilet. And the whole lot, like I was going to cause trouble. Hold this, hold that, walk to the toilet. I said, I don't need, no, hold it. Don't go to the toilet if you don't hold that. And I walked, friend. I walked to the toilet. And the doctor came and he asked me, what happened? I said, likewise, I don't know what happened. Neither do I know what happened now. I don't know. If I know, I'll take your job. So they massage, they looked at, so they sent me for a scan. They scanned my brain. They thought there was something that snapped. I asked the doctor, how's my brain? He said, good, thank God. Then they scanned my back, nerves. Then they went into my heart. Because I had a heart attack in 2000. And they said, it's all good, except there's maybe your heart has a bit of a fast beat, but I said, you know why my heart is beating fast? I want to get out of this place. And you know, suddenly, friend, my leg came and I started standing and I got up and walked. And I remember Jesus told, pick up your bed and walk. I can't carry the bed too heavy, Lord. I have to carry the metal bed. But I got up and I walked. And the nurses were saying, be careful. And I walked. You know, they put me in an isolated room. Yes, and just one window to see the hill. I can't even look out the door, get back, because I had influenza A. And they put me right in a little. And I called the nurses. I said, I'm going insane. I'm a person who don't sit on the bed. I go, I can't walk. Then the nurse said, look outside, people walking. I said, how cruel can you be? I can't walk. You ask me, look at people walking. Fantastic. You guys are so good. I like you. You know, I started walking, friend. The urgency became I walk. And Anne said, you think we should still call Pastor Kenny? I said, no. Your name mentioned all the time. I said, no, don't. I said, I want to go to the camp. I finished my sermon. I finished my preparation. Nobody was going to pull the rug out of me. And then the doctor told me, be careful, you're driving long distance. Can you imagine if that day I had it while I'm driving, I would have killed people on the road. Because if I lost my right leg, it was on the accelerator. I would have killed people on the road. But it happened when I got home. And I prayed, I said, we'll make it to camp. We'll make it, I said. Two of us, we drove. We took a long drive. But you know something, friend? The enemy has lost. Even the doctor, when I was discharged, said, I really don't know what's wrong with you. I said, I know. You don't know, but I know. It's okay. You don't know the doctor. He said, all the reports was, you're really good. You're good health for your age. You're good. But I know, friend, in the dark world, there was a collaboration of minds to destroy our work. There was a coming together of evil powers. But I thank those of you who was praying that we came through victorious. I can drive with my leg now. That's why I told, I said I would have, and I love, my whole system was geared to coming to camp. But somebody, the reality that I want to bring is because when I was sitting with God and asked why, the Lord said, because I'm going with you. And I thought this camp was so much to me, the present, how much I needed him. In that ward, I sat down frightened. Fear was crippling me. Fear was playing with my mind. But the heart of heart was, God, you can do a miracle. Amen. I'm a miracle here today. Give the Lord a clap offering. It's a miracle of what God has done. I would never miss this camp. Because you know why? The camp was made for us. Amen? When I could feel my leg, I tell you, like I won Tets Lotto. Serious? Losing the mobility of my legs is my life. My life. When I look back every time and think of it, I say, Lord, you walked with me through that valley. You walked through that valley. The nurses were shocked when they saw me. Hey, be careful. What are you doing? Why? I said, walking. What am I doing? I'm doing my normal thing. Walk. I have to walk. But suddenly on the Friday morning, as I came out, life was injected back into me. It was like somebody injected something. And I could get up and go to the toilet. And the doctor said, you got to stay here a few more days. I said, no, I got a camp. No, I don't want to camp here. I got another camp there. He said, no, you stay. We want to do more tests. I said, no need any more tests. I passed the test already. Really? I said, no. He said, you just take care. He said, take care. Be careful. I said, don't worry. I know who is my carer. I know who walks beside me. Beyond a shadow of doubt, I know who he is. And I'm here this few days, friend. And every night I sleep, I pray, I say, God, keep the enemy away. And the joy that I didn't want to share the testimony is I wanted to reach the completion of the camp to tell you our God never fails. He doesn't do halfway. He do a complete work. And I stood through this camp. I walked, though I fell a few moments, I told Anne, I said, my legs are, you know, it's a little bit soft. But I walked through the home, walked back to the room. I walked, I kept walking. Because I knew one thing. The mind is the devil's workshop. My mind is set on heavenly things. Amen? And I enjoyed to pray for you, Jim. I was just talking. Little did any of you know that my legs were, I sat with you and I fellowship as if nothing was going on. You know why? Because God is in control. Amen? Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. This morning, I'm going to break away from the series that I did. I have a word just for guys, for you and me and everyone. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 1. Daniel, would you read that verse for me loud? Stand up and read. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Read it loud. Isaiah 1:18. I like the starting. He said, come now. Church, come. Let us sit down. Let us articulate around the altar of God. Let us sit down and pour our hearts out. Because God is a God that wants to sit with us. So many times in life we are moving, walking, jumping, running, talking, traveling, that we don't sit down with moments with God and say, Lord, thank you, you heal me, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why? I don't know. But one thing I know, the enemy has lost his battle against me. God has won. Amen. He says, come, let us settle. I want to listen to you, friend. There is a moment in every person's life, even you sitting here, when God whispers this word, it is time. It is time. It is time. It's time to park yourself. It's time to slow down. It's time to get out the busyness of this world. It's time. It's time. Time is in my hand. And I am the author and a lot of time. It's time. And I pray that this camp was a time to pack out your life from the busyness. Somebody said busy is what? Being under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. Because the devil wants you to be busy. Because busyness robs you of quality time with the master. Jesus will say, come, now is the time. I felt that moment in the hospital was God's time for me. I was busy preparing. I got a few other services to preach. I got this. And the Lord said, it's time. Sometime I will cripple you to get your time. Sometime I'll take away your dreams that I may get your time. Sometimes I'll rip away all your aspiration that you may spend time with me. Because I'm a jealous God. I love you. I love you. It's time. I don't know if you're going through that moment in life. Maybe it's time God is talking to me. Maybe it's time I make my life right. Maybe it's time I set my career. Maybe it's time I focus in life what I want to do. It's time. It's a time. There are moments, God, and then there's sometimes when he says it's time, it's not time for religious activities. Don't compensate time with God with religious activities. Don't compensate time with your wife and kids with activities. No. Time is quality. Selected time by God. Maybe you're going through all that struggling. You're so involved in church, but you're not involved with God. You're so active in church, but you're so absent from Jesus. And the absence is eating into you. The absence is pulling you apart. It's time. Now is the time that the heavens will open and God wants to do something. It's a time, not a time of performance. Listen, friend, God is not so excited about our performings and performances, but about our posturing. Posture. Posture. Come, bow before him. Bow before him. Posture your heart in reverence. Posture your heart in humility. Posture your heart in desperation. Posture your heart in abandonment. Abandon the world and posture before him. It's not about performance. It's nothing about performance. He's the greatest performer. He performed miracles you and I will never do. He performed life-transforming sessions you and I can't do. So performance was never on his agenda. But posture. Posture. Come before the Lord. It was not also a time to pretend, make believe. You know, just now we were talking in Daniel's group, and sometimes we need to realize we get so familiar with things of God that familiarity breeds contempt. And God is made into a person of contempt because we think we are doing all this. Familiarity is a dangerous weapon. Make sure. It's just like marriage. If you get too familiar, things can go wrong. How about revival, renewal, rejuvenating that moment, refreshing it? It's not about all this pretending. But the time that God is talking about, it's a time to come home. Come home. Sit with me. Come on, guys. Sit on the table of fellowship. Let's reason. What you're going through? What do you need? What are you struggling? What's your desire? The Bible says in Psalms 37:4, delight in the Lord and he, Abba, Yahweh, will give you the desire of your heart. Maybe come. I believe this time of coming in this camp was a time to come to the Lord. Come to God. I heard the testimonies, you know, so beautiful here. The little kid so excited. You know, that really touched my heart. At that age, they will be thinking of other things. Yet God's word penetrated and touched their heart. And with boldness, your parents there, they stood up and parents, you should give thanks to the Lord. It's a time. What is the time? Do you see yourself here as a purposeful time or do you see as wasting time, relaxing time, just time to get to chill out? No chill out, friend. In God's presence, there's no chilling out. In God's presence, it's times of refreshing. Amen? Say that. Say this. It's times of refreshing. Come on, church, say. It's times of refreshing. The refreshing spirit of Jesus is here to refresh you. He said, I'll cast away all. You see, he said, all the things that have happened, your sin, I'll remove it. Because you know why? I'm here. It's my time. You know, it's so hard to get time with people today. So hard. One day I called someone just to talk. Pastor Mitchell, I'm busy. Constantly he says that word busy. And then one day he needed prayer. 11:45. Pastor Mitchell, please come to my house. I need to pray. I need you to pray for me. And in my heart, the evil part of my heart here, I want to say, hey, bro, I also got no time. You know, I tell you, the carnal, honestly, I'll be honest with you. The carnal man said, hand him back. I said, sorry, bro, I no time. 11:40. Serious. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'm also human. The carnal man came back and said, now is your chance to tekan him. But I went, I mean, even though I felt a bit, I went there. In the conversation, and after I told him, I said, listen, no. I said, your biggest problem is this. You make yourself busy. He said, but I got a lot of work. I said, hello. The work don't rule your life. The life rules the work. Take it easy, I said. But you know, will you make time? You know, someone said this. I don't know about you, but if you have sent your kid to study overseas and far away, sometimes the mother will sit down and wait for the phone call. Darling, how are you? Are you doing well? Are you eating? Are you studying? Because you long to hear that voice. How many of you, when you call your wife or your wife call you, say, who is this, huh? Wah, go home, no dinner. True or not? You sure know the voice. Why? Because that voice lingers in you. Maybe the Lord is calling you from a distance. I want time with you. Can you shred off all that busy carnality and park yourself with me? Just park yourself. Maybe a minute, an hour. To the Lord, an hour is but nothing. Eh? 1,000 years is but a day. Maybe just to sit down and cry out. Cry to the Lord. You know, in that ward was the best moment I felt. I could not sleep. Sleep couldn't take me. I just didn't want sleep. All I wanted is, Lord, these legs, Lord. Please, Lord. I almost will say, Lord, I'll do anything for you. And the word is, you can't do anything to save you. What do you do for me? And I thought for a moment, what a fool I am. I want to do for you. I can't do for myself. I want to do for you. No, think God brought that revelation. And I just sat down and I said, Lord, I know. I know. Sometimes we think we want to teach God how to. No, friend. Don't. Please don't make a fool of yourself. But Lord, I can't do anything. All I'm going to do is I'm going to sit here hopelessly, helplessly, dependent on you. Maybe it's a time. I want to share that there are timely moments that God wants in our lives. Listen to this word. Timely moments of God in your life. Not you setting the time, but he sets the time. From this verse, I saw this verse. When I was reading it, it says, God is saying to us, come now, for tomorrow, not next week, come now. Not tomorrow, not this afternoon, now. Now is the accepted time. Now. Come now. It speaks this. God is calling for a personal encounter. Listen to this word, church. Encounter. He wants a personal encounter with each one of us. There's a multitude of needs, but he wants to meet your need. There's a multitude of cries, but he heard your cry. There's a multitude knocking on the door, but he heard your door. He said, I want the time with you. If you take this into your heart, you're a very sensitive person to the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. Time with God. You know, I would never want to go back to what? English Hospital. Sounds like angels, but no angels there. But in that quiet, you know, God, I told, and for 74 years, I have never slept on a bed for 12 hours. I wake up early morning, I am up and about, ready to go, legs all warm up. For two solid days, I can't even go to shower. I shower twice a day now. Serious, church. The hopelessness made me feel so down. Every time I want to move, don't move. I want to, don't move. The nurses, I said, Lord, what's going on? Then I realized it gave me a spiritual impetus during those 2 days. God was talking to me. And I tell you honestly, normally when I go to camps, 1 week before camp, I will finish the sermon. This one I finished from the day Kenny talked to me. I said, she said, you finished already? I said, yes, I finished all. There was a sudden urgency. Now is the time. I don't know, but God is saying he's calling you for a personal encounter. Do you know how much to God it means to have time with you? I don't know how much you value the time with him, but he values every moment and every time with you. Isn't that wonderful? He's not telling you to get your life in order. He said, come. I'm the order of life. Amen? I am the order of your life. You can't get your life in order. If I am not there, there is no order in your life. Think about it, church. I can sit on that bed. The doctors came. So many doctors. Knock here, knock there. I said, what's going on? Can you feel? Can't feel. The doctor can ask me, how did you get? Did you get a stroke? I said, doctor, listen. If I know this, I won't be here. I don't know. All I know, I'm on the floor. Shouting, my leg. And my wife was saying, you are sweating, cold sweat. It was painful. My back was painful. God is the order of your life. Amen? God is the order. For if he said one word, all your limbs, the sinews, the veins will come to order. By his word, order speaks into life. He's calling you for a moment of encounter. Because God has found, listen, this is the word of God, that God realized we have gone astray. Remember in Matthew, he says, you worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far, far away. You worship me with lips. You worship me with all the performance. But the heart of yours has gone that way. And that's why I'm calling for a timeout with you. Timeout with you. I want a timeout with you. I want to help you, church. I want to help you, young people. Young couples. Families. I want to help you. You're going too far. Unknown to you, the enemy has misled you so far. Come back home. Come back to Jesus. Come back to the lover of your soul. Come back. Let's sit down and talk. Let's reason what's going on with your life. Let's reason why you're struggling in ministry. Why are you struggling with your relationship? Why? What's going on? Sit with me. I am the order of your life. Talk with me. Don't go to counselors. They take your money. Don't go to psychologists if they are not of God. They will make you more confused. But come to me. Come to me. You know, friend, I don't know about you, but that 2 days in hospital was the most richest moment for me. I pride myself as a servant. But God said, you're doing too many things, bro. I may take away your title. How about just be a sitter and rest in my presence? I could never rest and I don't sleep. I can 18 hours to 20 hours a day I can work. I'm not a workaholic. I just cannot sit down quiet. But in that days, I really sat down and said, Lord, I needed it. You know, and the cry of my heart was, I needed it, Lord. Though the treatment was so harsh, but I needed it, Lord. anything less, I would have not recognized. The harsher it was, the more I recognize Jesus is in control. God is waiting for you. He knows we are slipping away. Slipping away. Sliding away. Shifting away. And enough is enough. And he calls you, come. Time out. Time with me. So that's why it's important to have morning time with God. Devotion time. You know, I like Pastor Jim. You know, he really put something. He said he wake up 6 o'clock to go and pray. Sometimes 6 o'clock, I'm still in heaven talking to people outside or what. I don't know where I'm gone. Now 6 o'clock. He wake up to go 6 o'clock. You know, that's a discipline in life. You know, let me tell you, Asians, I'm also Asian, huh? I look different, but different Asian. But Asians see discipline as punishment. Nothing to do with punishment. Nothing. When Jesus disciplines you, he doesn't punish you. He says, I discipline you because I love you. Can you grasp that? I see you going wrong. I love you, so I pull you out. Come here. I love you. I'm a God that can't see you suffering and going to sin and don't do anything. I discipline you. So discipline is an act, a personal choice, an act that you make to spend time with God. I choose to forego that I can speak with you. Be careful, don't. Church, some of us may be slipping too far. You think you're a Christian, but you may be going down the chute. You think you may be doing things for God, but you may be doing the right things, but not for the right attitude and response. Check with God. Check with God. God, this is what he says. Come, let's reason. Number two, he says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Hey, come on, bro. You playing with magic, God? How do you change that? He said, even though. You know what he's saying? He said, sin stains, I am the eraser. Sin stains, I am the eraser. I'll erase it. You know, when you put tomato sauce or chili sauce on your white shirt, cannot come out, huh? Right on, eh? That's why you never see me. If you see me wear white shirt, I buy you a lunch. I don't own white shirt. You ask my wife. Because whenever I eat the food, all over me. Really, I don't like white shirt. Because I bought so many white shirts that I throw away. Because the chili sauce so naughty, want to go on the shirt. See, I don't wear white shirt. Colored shirt, nobody can see. But maybe we think our life is like that. God can't see the stain. He saw it. He saw the stains. And sometimes the stain starts from a little one. And then it grows and grows. That's why it's growing too big. The cancer stain is growing so big that he says, stop. Let me deal with it now. Let me deal with it, friend. God knows. God sees the. Sometimes it's, you know, what is sin? People say, don't you sin, Pastor. I never sin. I did wrong. It's sin. Don't come and camouflage and don't play politics. I didn't do wrong. No, you sin. A sin is a sin. And you are in the center of sin. You are in the center of the sin. What is in the center of sin? You are. True or not? How you spell sin? I-S-I-N. Don't play fool. If it is sin, say sin. You know, even when you deal with your kids, let me tell you, if it's wrong, deal with them properly. Don't dilute. Don't camouflage. Don't sugarcoat. It'll come back and bite you. Wrong is a wrong. Deal with it. Deal correctly. Don't play. God is saying that we are all people carrying the stain of our past. Can I make this statement? Copyright this one. Copyright. Please copyright. And if you copy wrong, then I'll come and write it for you. But it says this. Your past is not your place of residence. Your past is your point of reference. Can I get somebody to say amen? Don't live in the past. But the past is a reference for the future. Your past is not your place of residence. Your past is your point of reference. Refer back. That's why the Old Testament is good. We refer back. That's why when they cross the river, they are putting all the stones so that it's a reference. But they don't live there. Reference. That God did what? What did God do? God helped me. God intervened. God broke down the wall. God tore down. The sin, even though Jesus has cleared, you know, someone said this truly. He said, I can take you out of Egypt, but I can't take Egypt out of your heart. That's happened what to the people of Israel. They left the place of Egypt, but the heart of Egypt was still in them. And that's how sin begins to grow. Take time. Sit down, God. Maybe this old problem is coming back, Lord. This old problem is knocking on my door. And maybe, Lord, I want to take time out with you, Lord. I've spoken to pastors. I've spoken to you. But I'm struggling with this area, Lord. I'm going through a difficult fight. I'm fighting almost a losing battle, Lord. Unless you intervene, Lord, I'm defeated, Lord. I'll be defeated, Lord. You know, my prayer is like Paul. Every day I exercise, I pump my body, I pump my spirit, that I will not disqualify myself from the high calling of God. It's my duty to daily discipline, pump myself up spiritually, that I won't fall to the traps of sin. He will remove every stain, friend. There is no stain that he cannot. He's better than Clorox. Clorox tear your shirt also one hole. Yeah, one day I put too much Clorox. I have to go and buy my shirt for my kid because I spoil his shirt. Lucky the shop got last one left. I said, "Well, so don't put Clorox, huh?" Jesus has the most powerful detergent that cleans away sin. Amen? He takes away the stain. But most of all, by being in his presence, the stain in itself is washed away. Amen? Just in his presence. The awesome power of his presence dissolves every stain in your life. Every stain. You know, someone asked me, I was interviewed on Rhema Radio. Rhema Radio said, Pastor Miso, wow, how come you survive so long? He said, you're a very unique personality. You're very aggressive on the street. You're very, yet you hold on to your faith. Is there a method you do? I said, yes. You don't see. When I'm alone, I'm actually humble before the Lord like a broken kid. Outside to the world, people think, ooh, this guy's a macho guy. But actually in Malay, they say bocho already. There's a lot of holes in me. But I go to God. Because I know, friend, if I don't go, I'm gone. I fall. Because I work, listen, church, I work on the most front line of the Christian world. The streets. The alleyways. The byway. Sometimes I ask God, why, Lord, why do you pick on me? Why am I? He said, I picked on you. Because I equipped you. You don't ask me. Nobody. I ask people, oh, go church and preach. Okay. I say, come follow me. No, Pastor Miso, tonight I got something. Hey, bro. Because people don't want to do that. 40 over years. There. You think I don't like to be a pastor in church? Whoo, I can sit down. I don't like computers. Please, I don't know anything about computer. Then my computer operator, my data analyst. See, I don't know. I don't even know what is the button saying. I don't, but I am hands-on, bro. You look at his hands. Hands-on. You know, one day I was really frustrated. I got hammered on the street. And I'm a martial art. Sometimes cannot hammer people. Too many people looking, you know. The pastor abuse people. They hammer you, not abuse. You hammer only, you abuse him. And I said unto the Lord, I said, Lord, I got so many scars, you know, Lord. Now my body looked disfigured and so. And then the Lord reminded me, I also got a scar. I say, you are God, okay lah. I'm a human being. Then I one day someone told me, when we die, we get a new body. Every scar is left here. That's a lie. You know why? When Jesus died, he took his scar with him. Remember when Thomas said, Jesus said, Thomas, he said, Thomas, look at it. Touch now. Thomas, you're frightened. So your scars, I believe, will be left there. And when you stand before God, I had pain, but it's a ministry I have to do. But sometimes I complain. And then when I don't do, I also complain. Why no addict call me? Yes, my wife. I say, how come this month, nobody, no addict call? Why, no more addicts on the street. Hey, come on, man, bro. Start with business again. But that's my calling, friend. That's my calling. Number three, the verse says this. God says this. God opens the door of grace wide. The door of grace is not ajar, but a wide. Listen. God's door, remember he said, open the heavens what? Wide. Not ajar. God's grace is a door that opened wide. It's an open wide door that is calling you, come to my presence. You know, I love this word presence. If tattoo was allowed, I tattoo on my hand. The presence of God. I would linger. I would stay in your presence day and night till your likeness be seen in me. You know, they said husband and wife marry long time. There's a bit of likeness, huh? I don't know. You go back, you check the mirror. Don't start fight with me now, huh? So if we stay longer with God, shouldn't that be the real? The more the world see Jesus in you. The more you look like him, the more you behave like him. Because we were created in his image. Image. Young people struggle with it. I did a whole workshop with that on image versus identity. Image. Young people are going through. Image becomes big. But more than image, identity. And because we are so big into image, we spend a lot of money on makeup. To make up, to look something different. You know, I did a whole workshop on it, and someone asked me, Pastor Mizzo, is makeup wrong? I said, no. Unless, listen, why are you making up? You're not happy with your looks? So you're saying, God, I'm not happy the way you made me. That one got thicker eyebrows, I don't have much. Tambal, one eyebrow. No, seriously. Isn't that true? Or number two, you are doing it to gain attention from the world. You want people to look at you. I want people, nobody recognize me. That's why young girls are going to prostitution and waywardness. Because the family don't recognize them. The family don't spend time with them. Think about it, friend. God gave me a good image. His image. I need to handle that image well. And take care that the image reflects his image. The image of God. God opens the door of grace. Listen, church, today, whatever your situation you're going through, the door of grace is open wide. My grace is more than enough. More than enough. You cannot carry, you cannot comprehend, you cannot store up. My grace, it is more than enough. My grace is for you. Amen? Come, talk to him. If you're struggling and you think nobody cares, sit with him. Say, my grace is more than enough. My love is abounding. I give you the agape love. Love that asks of nothing in return. Just to love you. But you talk to me, sit with me, come, take time out with me. You know all this. You know it in your heart. You know it in your mind. You know it deep in your soul, but you are not there with me. You know, your kids know you love them. Your kids believe mom and dad love. But if you don't spend time with them, it's just annoying. They'll not grow in the love. someday when you're gone, they have a regretting moment. I love my mom and dad, but they didn't have time with me. Remember I told you the kid who jumped 25 floors down, the paper in his hand? And the mother is arguing with me in the coroner's inquiry. She said, you don't know, he's my kid. I said, you don't know, I know. Open his hand, read that paper. He said, my mom and dad never had time for me. They didn't know I'm growing up with emotional problems. I was struggling with my gender. Nobody talked to me. They talked to all the friends. They were worship leaders in the church. They sang with people. They talked to people. Nobody sat with me. Pastor Misho, you're the only one. He called me and I go, please don't tell my parents. Why? Said they don't care about me. And at the coroner's inquiry, the mother said, why didn't you tell me? I said, because I respected your son's decision. He didn't want you to talk to him because I told you. He wanted you to talk to him because you love him. When you make a heart to talk to God, you say, I love you, Lord. No need for him. No need for Pastor Kenny. I love you, Lord. I have every right to go to you and say, Lord, can I spend time with you, Lord? Grace is open. The doors of grace are open wide. The hands are reaching out. Just come as you are. Remember those days, the early days we sing this song, come as you are. George Beverly Shear would sing this at Billy Graham. Hey, let me tell you something. Just a bit of, when Billy Graham came to Singapore, yours truly was his personal bodyguard. You know why? Let me tell you. I hate a ministry called COPS, Christians on Police Service. We're all ex-cops. We started a Christian ministry, it's still in Singapore, that looks after to foreign dignitaries or Christian dignitaries that come. Billy Graham was my target. And listen, I met Franklin, who was a little boy. Little boy! And he remembered, because I talked all my story. He said, well, how do you, you don't sound like American, you sound like I'm Singaporean, we talk story. Many years ago, he landed in Perth, Franklin, and I went to Perth, and he saw me on the stage. Pastor Micho, come here. He remembered me, because I spent time with his father and him. I'd done a lot of ministry, you know, friend. Serious. Cops ministry, prison ministry, drug ministry, church. Any ministry, God had my name also up there. But you know why? You know why I tell you something? I don't know, but I found love and joy and purpose, loving God. I am a little Isaiah, Lord. Here I am. Send me, Lord. Send me, just send me. I can find my way with you. Amen? With you, I can find my way. But the doors of grace are open wide for you, kids. Whatever you're going through, it's not the end of your life. It's not the end of your hope. It's the beginning of your hope. It's the beginning of new things in life. Today you came to this camp. You enjoyed the worship. You enjoyed the experience, the encounter. It's the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning. Go home. Live it. Love it. Grow with it. Because your life is the most precious commodity that you have. Life is the most precious commodity, not wealth. Life. Take away life. Wealth has got no value. The greatest wealth is your life. The doors of grace are open, friend. Young people, I hope this can become the turning point. The turning point of your journey with God. And parents, you heard your kids speak in the testimony. You heard it with your own ears. You saw it. Nurture it. Empower them. Encourage them. Build them. Never listen. Don't be an agent to your kid to say, oh, if you don't want to go to church, it's okay. Never say that. I'll get angry if I hear that. My kids were young. And I preach all in front. 5 service on Sunday. 5 service, my kids are there. Then they will negotiate with the mother. Hey, mommy, daddy going to Indonesian church? They're talking Indonesian. We don't know. Then the mother says, okay, if you attend this service and that, the other one, you can go. But we never say, if you don't feel like going to church, it's okay. Woe be to you. May your mouth get fired up. Fire your kid. How can you don't? Come on. You're bringing them to the house of God. Yeah, you bring them to the house of God, church, please. And then I tell you honestly, I have a testimony from a church here till today. I was the youth pastor. I mean, I was old, but I'm a youth pastor. They call me uncle, and it's okay. Huh? And the kids used to love me. I'm a muscle man last time. Huh? I do all the muscle things. Wow, the kids, so you're really like super. I will do all. And the kids love me. And one day, the mother and the father got involved in church with another couple. And this couple was having extramarital affairs. And I know, but I'm not a pastor. So I talked to the senior pastor to do. So the senior pastor dealt with this couple, but this couple got angry. And then they walk out of church on a Sunday. I'm preaching. They walk out. And the little girl and the boy came running and listened to and jumped on my head. Pastor, we don't want to go. Pastor Miso, I don't want to go. I want to be. And the mother shouted, come on, let's go, let's go, let's go. Typical Asian, let's go, let's go, let's go. Serious. And I went out and said, please don't take that. No, no, we don't want this church. They took away the kids. They took the kid away. And I felt so bad. The kid was like my kid crying, hanging on my hand. 15 years later, I'm sitting at home. The parents rock up. All embarrassed. Suddenly, they're so quiet. Last time, we're cockfighter. No? Pastor, how are you? I said, I'm always the same. We need your help. A daughter of mine has ended up into prostitution. Can you talk to her? I said, you want me to talk to her? You didn't want me to talk to her. You walked out of church. Please. Daughter is at that place. Would you go? I went. The daughter saw me. She cried. So Pastor Miso, thank you. And I talked to her and she told her mother, Mommy, when I wanted to stay in church, you took me out. Now I'm out. You want me to go to church? Please teach me the right thing. Ended up into prostitution in Box Hill. But she saw me. She cried. She came to me. I hugged her. And I told the parents, listen. Don't get petty with things. Don't quarrel and take your kid. And if you don't like somebody, learn to live with it. Because you live in heaven next to me, I'll make your life difficult. But don't take your kids away. Please. You know, the kids build good friendship in that church. When you broke it, you broke their world. You broke their hopes. Yes, and the girl saw me, she was so beautiful. Pastor Michelle, she still had. I told the parents, why does she respect me? Not you. Because you acted in hastiness, not considering their life. Church, pastors, family, don't ever be the reason your kids don't come to church. Encourage them. Encourage them. Don't quarrel with Kenny and then say, don't go to church. Kenny got nothing to do with your church, your kids' life. But honestly, I tell you, don't quarrel with any. Even if you have quarrel, we can settle as adults. I have had a lot of issues with my personality. Some pastors cannot tahan. Oh, Pastor Misho. Yes, Anne. Say, Anne, what type of personality is your husband? Huh? But never one church. My kids go. If they enjoy the church, I let them. I say, go enjoy. My kids go to Planet Shakers, play music. Go. You don't have to be with me, but go to church. You are the one. You are the one that will stand before God for them. Help them. Encourage them. Help them to go to church. Help them to find fellowship in church. Friendship. You know, I see the young people, I was telling you, and so wonderful to see them enjoying life. But in just one twinkle of an eye, things can change when parents get involved. Just because you quarrel with another church member, you take your kids away. And never go back to church for them. Go back to church. Beautiful. The girl was a beautiful girl. If I never had a daughter, I would have loved to take her as my daughter. I grew up in boy culture. 9 brothers. All gangsters fighting. Want to eat, must rush. Because you don't rush, they eat your food also. Yes, 9 brothers. All big size. The mouth was big. Then I got 3 sons also. Hey, No girl, huh? Then I work in my drug center, 200 guys. Hey, God, why all guys? No girl, huh? So when I was pastoring the church, all I don't know what to do with the girl. The girl cry, I also cry. I don't know what to do. I will call my, and please, I don't know what to do. And all the girls also know. Don't go talk to Pastor Bishop, talk to Auntie Anne. Oh yes, I grew up. I grew up in a male-dominant environment. Even when I work with drug addicts, I don't work with girls. I'm very frightened of girls. Very frightened. They cry, I also cry. They shout, I don't know what to shout also. Really, yes, Anne. And then, thank God for a good wife. Anne will take care and look after. You know, husband, wife, let me tell you, you are in ministry not because you are in ministry with husband and wife. Don't ever someone say, no, you, no, ministry together. All my years, if not for her, I would have never been a successful person out there. Sometimes she's very discerning. The drug addict woman is trying to mislead me or waylay me. Her discernment says, be careful of this woman. Don't get too close. I go like dugung like that, not follow everything. Eh? But you know, friend, I want to say this. God's grace is pouring out. The doors are open wide. Make sure you, what did I, remember this word? Make sure you posture yourself at the right place in the alignment of the outpouring of His grace. Outpouring is pouring out. Get your family, get your kids. Align yourself in that postured moment to get the grace of God. And today we are aligned well. Amen, church. Are you blessed? Are you blessed? I want to open up the altar for all of us who want to align our heart closer to God. This altar is open. I don't want to force you. I want you to come. If you say, Pastor Miso, I want to align for the grace of God, come. Come with me as we close this service. This service, I want to pray with you. Let's stand. Let's stand. Come on, church. And if God is leading you, come. Come to the front. Come. Give me the privilege. Give me the honor to pray for each one of you. As you align your heart, come and receive that grace. Come and find that time, a time with God. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Let's sing a song.